Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now, here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Monday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say, thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you to this episode tonight, I am still excited because we are continuing our study in the book of Proverbs. And you know this book of wisdom contains everything we need to have the wisdom to forego and to overcome that which confronts us this side of eternity. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, your tablets, Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. The host has set up a chat room especially for that purpose. Now, before I get started, I want to personally take this time to thank all of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on this show. The comments and the advice that you're giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I am using, and I am so grateful, and thank you so very much. Now, as the theme song for the show suggests, the question for the hour again is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? God said, keep there before thee my commandments and do them, for this is your wisdom and understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all of these commandments and say, surely you are wise and understanding about God. That's taken from Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 6. The promise is, my precious brothers and sisters, that you will be considered wise and understanding about God if you keep his commandments, more especially before those who have no idea of what we're talking about. God said again, all of these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee if you keep my commandments. This is Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 2. There are such a multiplicity of blessings that will be not only available to you, but will become a part of who you are if you keep the commandments of God. God said again, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee as long as you do not disobey my commandments. And that's in Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. The promise is that God will always be with you. He will always be with us as long as we don't forsake him and not keep his commandments. So again, the question for this hour is, are you standing, my precious brothers and sisters, on the commandment of God? Okay. Now, before we get started, as I always like to rehearse and remind everyone, and this is including myself, that the Bible is written in code, meaning it's written in mysteries, in secrets, in parables, in prophecies, in proverbs, in paradoxes, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way to break the code is through study and learning. And that's what we're doing this evening, my precious brothers and sisters. We're studying and learning together. Remember that. That's why it is vital, if you have a question, to get in touch with me and let me know what it is so we can both benefit from it. Now, let's go to the study. Turn with me, if you will, your Bible sources to Proverbs chapter 28. We're going to look at 1 verse 6 and what I want you to do and what happens a lot in the book of Proverbs is that the verse is identical to the question or the instruction. The instruction is, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. My precious brothers and sisters, there has been so much written in the Bible about trusting in your heart, your own heart. In fact, it is something that we know that even Jesus gave a lot of information about that which is within us is that which defiles a man, not that which is outside of us. Jesus says, from within us, our heart, comes evil thoughts, fornication, adultery, theft, murder, blasphemy, deceit, wickedness, ungodliness, again, and the such like. And that is something we must be aware of if we are trusting in our own heart. That's what will emanate. And the reason because of it is that we have the mind of the knowledge of good and evil, and that's what evil does. Now, let's go and read the verse is verse chapter 28. This is what Solomon said to Israel. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whosoever walketh wisely shall see or shall be delivered. And that is if we trust in God. That's exclusive, my precious brothers and sisters. God is the only trustworthy being that exists in this experience. And that is what Solomon is trying to tell us. Now, listen, we're going to go now and amplify this. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalms 53, and we're going to see how David rehearsed it to Israel. Psalms 53. Listen to what David had to say about this. David said, the fool had said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that does it good. God looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did not seek him or that did seek him. Every one of them is gone back. They are all together become filthy. There is none that does it good. No, not one. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Who eat up the people as they eat bread? They have not called upon God. And that knowledge, my brothers and sisters, again, is the knowledge of everlasting life compared to the knowledge of good and evil that I mentioned to you that gives us that evilness that comes out of our heart. Okay. Let's go now to Jeremiah chapter 17. He's going to add to this now. I see we're at the first break. Let's take that break, and then we will continue with the lesson.
No wonder she walked in crying. No wonder she walked in the door weeping. there was no one else that could fix it. No wonder she kissed his feet and put down her hair and started drying his feet with her hair. Because there was nothing but the blood. Nothing else could do it. Nothing else could cleanse it. Nothing else could fix it. Nothing else could restore it. I've been from bed to bed and man to man and woman to woman. Yes, I'm a sinner. But nothing else could fix it. I ran off with anybody who said they would fix it, but nothing else could fix it. Nothing else could fix it. I didn't mean to be a tramp. I wasn't trying to be a slut, but I couldn't find nobody. Nothing but the blood. 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 I tried everything else. Nothing but the blood. I slept with everybody else. Nothing but the blood. I tried to shoot it up, drink it up, smoke it up, snort it up. Nothing, 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 nothing. But the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that blood that makes me white as snow. No other fountain.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's complete this first instruction. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Listen to what Jeremiah says in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5 through 10. And this is so significant. Listen, my brothers and sisters. The prophet says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land and not inhabit it. Blessed is the man, though, that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat comes. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, searcheth the heart. I try the reins, even to give to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. My brothers and sisters, you hear what Jeremiah the prophet said about that? It's the heart that defileth the man. Remember, I read earlier, or mentioned earlier, it's the heart within man that defileth the man, not the outside. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to get an understanding of that, excuse me, even more from what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27. Listen, because Jesus is telling us, if you don't listen to him, this is what will happen, meaning that the heart will take over and you will be defiled. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew. And he beat upon the house, and it beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Again, my precious brothers and sisters, as the Solomon said, but whosoever walketh wisely shall be delivered. And that is how Jesus is telling us. So listen, this is what I want you to understand from this particular instruction, that our trust must be in God first, period. And everything else, we just acknowledge. You hear that, my brothers and sisters? So you don't trust in your own heart. You don't trust in anyone else's heart. You trust in God exclusively. But of course, you acknowledge what you hear by other people, and you weigh that according to what God or the scripture tells you what to do. All right, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 28, and we're going to see in verse 27, again, what Solomon is telling Israel. And it is going to be identical to the instruction, the verse. The instruction is, he that giveth to the poor shall not lack. My precious brothers and sisters, this is critical for us to understand, because we're not talking about physically only. He that giveth to the poor, that could be spiritually also, time, effort, energy. He that giveth to the poor shall not lack. That is the promise of the benefit. If you respond to the poor, you shall receive a benefit. Now let's hear what Solomon said about it. Solomon said in verse 27, he that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. And that is, again, what we are looking at when you do not respond to the needy. In fact, Jesus said it in many instances. He said, feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty. You know, he said, visit the sick, visit the imprisoned. And he said, to do this to the least of his brethren is like you're serving him. This is a critical action on the part of Christians, and it should be on the part of humanity within humanity. And this is what Psalms 41 tells us about it also. In Psalms 41, David, he brings this to our attention, verse 1 through 3. Listen, blessed is he that considers the poor. Remember, I said that it's not only giving physically, but spiritually too. Listen to the benefit. The Lord will deliver him in the time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. He shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou shalt not deliver him up to the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon his bed of languishing, meaning through your trials and tribulations yourself, because of what you do for others, God will give you sustenance to get through it. And again, thou will make his bed in his sickness. The promise is God will take care of you. And that is something that we must realize is by faith. And we must walk by faith and not by sight. Remember, it's impossible to please God without faith. And this is how the New Testament compares and agrees. Turn with me, if you will. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 6, verse 38 to begin with. And listen to what Jesus says about giving. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, With all it shall be measured to you again. My precious brothers and sisters, this is so significant to understand that you reap or you sow and reap as a unit. You reap what you sow. Now, this is even more added to this with verses 30 through 34. Listen to how Jesus continues to give this instruction. Give to every man that asks of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do unto you, do ye also unto them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners do love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For the sinners do also the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. So Jesus is telling us that we should give because God has commanded it, and we shall receive in return the measure to us. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually, that man was made to dress God's garden. So in our DNA is the give gene, if you will. Man was made to dress God's garden. That's why giving is so significant. I see we've reached the second pause for tonight. Let's take that break, and then we'll return with the lesson.
Hi, John Maxwell here. Welcome to Minute with Maxwell. We're talking about relationship principles. This is a series of several lessons, and this one I'm going to talk about is principle number 8, and that is people want success, so help them win. I think everybody wants to win, and I think most people don't win on a consistent basis. And I think because of that, their self-image goes down, their confidence goes down, and things that they could do, they don't do, and the person they could become, they don't become. Because no one wants to continually lose their way to success. You can't really do that. You've got to get some wins under your belt. You've got to get some victories. I mean, if you look at the Old Testament example of David, I mean, he's known for being the giant slayer. He killed Goliath in a battle, and everybody knows that young, non-experienced, non-military, little David beat up the big boy. Everybody knows that. But what they don't know sometimes is that he just didn't take that giant leap from being a shepherd boy to a giant killer. You see, while he was a shepherd, one day a bear came out of the woods to take the sheep, and he was good with a slingshot, and he killed the bear. And one day he killed a lion. So he had some wins under his belt before he got to, you know, Shaq Goliath. He had some wins under his belt before he got there. So when he got to Goliath, this wasn't a big step. It was the next step. You see, success is all about several wins, several steps taken. I did that pretty well, and I've accomplished this. And you kind of step your way up until the moment that you kind of get well known as a giant slayer. You, it's no big deal to you. You know what's no big to you? It's a big deal to them because all they saw you do is knock out the big boy. But it's no big deal to you because you've been winning for a period of time. So help people. Help people get some little wins under the belt. It'll help their confidence. It'll make them more secure. It'll make them more bold. And someday they'll get to be a giant slayer. Welcome. I'm glad you're with me today on Minute with Maxwell.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go to back to Proverbs chapter 29 this time. We're going to look at several verses in Proverbs chapter 29, and then as I read the instruction to you, I'll give you the verses, and we'll compare and agree and see what Solomon's telling Israel. This is the instruction I want you to keep in mind as I read the verses to you. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. My brothers and sisters, that is something that has been a constant drag on our experience inside of eternity. The righteous being in authority. That is something, let's listen to how Solomon told it to Israel. Then we'll discuss it further. We'll start with verse 2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Have we been mourning more than rejoicing? Listen to what Solomon says again in verse 6. In the transgressions of an evil man, there is a snare, but the righteous doeth sing and rejoice. So, look at the government of the nations from the time that we have been in existence. We don't have to go beyond that. Has this been the situation that evil is prevailing? Listen to verse 7. Verse 7 says, the righteous considereth the cause of the poor, but the wicked regardeth not to know it. Again, here we come. We just read about those who give to the poor shall not lack. And verse 16 completes the thought. When the wicked are multiplied, transgressions increase, but the righteous shall see their fall. That is where we may have some solace, that we must stay the course of righteousness, continuing to fight the good fight of faith, that the wicked will be overtaken. Now let's look at Psalms 37, and this should give us some more tranquility or solace, peace of mind, because this is how David rehearsed it to Israel in Psalms 37, and it's verse 37 through 40. Listen to what David said about this. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trusted him. That's the key. We must have the faith. We must trust. We must stay the course, and we will be receiving the peace that we need during the transgression. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? We shall be receiving the peace that we need during the transgression. That doesn't mean that we're out there fighting physically against anyone. There is no peace in fighting, but there is peace in corrective action. And we know if we follow Scripture as we are reading it, that we have the corrective action that is through basic instructions before leaving Earth. And all we have to do is stay the course until God delivers us from this transgression. And we know that, again, Scripture tells us that God delivers the righteous out of their troubles all the time. And verse 16 through 19 completes the thought with David talking to Israel in Psalms 37. David says, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. My precious brothers and sisters, if you're following what the Scripture is telling us, you should not be ashamed in these evil times. Stay the course, and ye shall be empty during the famine. And if you find yourself in that situation, you are not regarding the Scriptures. And that is key. You must perform. Faith without works is dead, my precious brothers and sisters. Let's now go to the New Testament complement, and we're going to see how First Peter puts it. turn with me, if you will, to 1 Peter, and we're going to see how 1 Peter gives information to the disciples how to quell their activity during the siege of wickedness. 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to be looking at verse 8 through 12. This is what 1 Peter says, chapter 3, 8 through 12. Finally, he's given us instructions. Be ye all of one mind, be righteous, having compassion one for another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes, listen up, my brothers and sisters, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. My brothers and sisters, it may be weariness for a night, but there is joy in the morning. We must overcome. And the only way we can overcome is to fight the good fight of faith and stay the course. And in doing so, we don't placate evil, but we correct evil with good. That is significant to know. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually, this instruction. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. That God responds favorably to righteousness, and righteousness produces peace. So, is there peace and tranquility in the land? If not, is there peace and tranquility within you? That is so significant, my brothers and sisters, because it's like the eye of the storm. Within the eye is peace and tranquility. That's the righteousness of God. Outside of the eye is turbulence and tribulations. That's wickedness. Now, if you stray out of the eye, you will become a part of the turbulence and tribulation. So remember, you stay within the eye of the storm. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back with me to the Proverbs chapter 29. We're going to get another instruction from King Solomon. We're going to look at Proverbs 29. We're going to look at verse 8 and 9 and 11. And as I read the scripture to you, I want you to keep in mind this instruction. This is significant. This is the instruction of the hour. Wise and foolishness conflicts with one another. Did you hear that, my precious brothers and sisters? I see we've reached the next break. Let's take that break, and then we'll continue with the lesson.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instruction.
Simple.
The tongue. Life and death are harnessed in the power of our tongue. Do we believe this? Even though the tongue is a small thing, it can make grand speeches. A tiny spark, also a small thing, can set a great forest on fire. The rudder of a ship is another small thing that can direct the course of a large vessel. Among all the parts of our body, the tongue is the most powerful. It can set your world on fire or breathe life into a weary soul. You choose. The word tells us that our words can be like a scorching fire, separating close friends, stirring up anger, and providing the folly of fools. In contrast, the word also says that our tongue can speak words that bring life. Words like apples of gold, life-giving water or honey to the soul. Our words have impact for good or ill. Our tongue and its power to use words is a unique and influential gift from God. When we read the book of Proverbs, we must notice that verse upon verse about the power of our words keep jumping off the page. Proverbs 12:6 teaches that our words have the power to destroy and the power to build up. Are we using the words from our tongue to build up people or destroy others? Who's in charge of your tongue? Who can we blame when hurtful things come tumbling out of our mouths? It is imperative that we make a conscious decision to control the output of our own tongues. Since our powerful, positive, and beautiful words can heal and uplift, we must be lavish in these words. When spoken with truth, our words have the ability to change lives. Stop and think about how you communicate. Do your words encourage people to achieve greatness? Do your words support and help someone who is suffering? Do your words nurture, nourish, and inspire your own children? Sadly, emotions like hatred, fear, anger, doubt, frustration, and resentment can be expressed and fueled by words as well. Whether words are written or spoken, they have the power to break and destroy healthy environments, as well as relationships. Years ago, I accepted the challenge presented in Ephesians 4:29, which states, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." What a powerful directive. This would be a project in taming my tongue. Witnessing the barren desert of hurtful words, I was excited to go on this new life-giving adventure. I wanted to speak life into my world, starting with my own tongue. Since our tongue wields the mighty power for life or for death, we must be mindful about what we say and how we say it. Consider your words. Your words can change everything.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's get to the next instruction. We want to look at wise and foolishness conflicts with one another. And this is what King Solomon said about it. Scornful men bring a city into a snare, but wise men turn away wrath. If a wise man contendeth with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. Did you hear that, my precious brothers and sisters? It doesn't matter if you are dealing with stupidity or imbecility or ignorance. It can overcome whatever your effort is. It will win you out if you're not careful. And verse 11 completes the thought. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. This is something that we must be very aware of and listen to how Solomon says or talks about it in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. This is how Solomon amplifies the thought on wise and foolish conflict. It's Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11 through 18. Listen to what Solomon says. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time, when it falleth suddenly upon them. This wisdom have I seen up under the sun, and it seemed great to me. Listen, my precious brothers and sisters, there was a little city, and few men within it, and there came a great king against it, and besieged it, and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in the land a poor wise man, and he, by his wisdom, delivered the city. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of the wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Wisdom is better than wisdom of war or weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. This is telling us that there is no victory in confronting foolishness with wisdom. Foolishness or stupidity or imbecility is a disease, and it will win out because of the curse in the garden of good and evil, or the curse in the garden concerning the tree of good and evil. Now let's go to James chapter 3, and we're going to see how James gives us an indication how wisdom is good, but you have to be careful in the conflict. Evil begets evil. That is what this lesson is about. It's we do not confront evil with evil. And this is how we overcome it. But that doesn't mean that it wins. That means that it is held at bay because of the curse in the Garden of Eden. Evil does have preeminence over good. You hear that, my brothers and sisters? We may not acknowledge that, but look at what we have experienced in our lives. And more times than not, evil is pervasive. Evil is prominent in what we are confronted with. Now listen to how James chapter 3, verse 13 through 17 puts it. James tells the apostles this: who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom doesn't come from above, but is earthly, devilish, sensuous. It is foolishness. It is wickedness. And this is how we tell it: for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. And my brothers and sisters, again, I'm telling you that evil is predominant in this experience we're having this side of eternity. And we don't fight fire with fire, because fire with fire will put out the fire. It will eventually teeter out. The thing is that we must avoid it, and so we won't get burnt. That's what I'm telling you. Now listen to what James concludes in verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality and without hypocrisy. That's how we know the difference. But again, we must not try and overcome it, meaning evil with evil, because that does not work. And this is what it means to us spiritually. What I'm trying to get to you is that the knowledge of good and evil causes the conflict. So that is the knowledge that is pervasive in the world. And if you do not know or have the knowledge of everlasting life, the knowledge of good and evil shall prevail, regardless of your good intent. And we can see how that plays out not only daily in our lives, but daily in the lives of all those who are around us, except for those that use the knowledge of everlasting life to quell it. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back with me, if you will, to Proverbs. We're going to look at Proverbs 29 again. We're going to look at verse 15 and verse 17. And as I read the instruction to you, the verses are going to be almost identical to the instruction. But here's the instruction: the rod and reproof gives wisdom. That is the instruction that we want to pay attention to in this instance. The proverb says this, Proverbs 29, verse 15 and 17: the rod and reproof gives wisdom, but a child left to himself brings his mother to shame. That is why it is so important to correct the wrong of the individual. Because in correcting the wrong, if the individual responds positively to it, you have gained success. If not, it will destroy you. Now I see we're at the last break of the evening. Let's take this break, and then we'll resume.
A lot of people talk a good game, don't they? They say they're going to do this and that. But when push comes to shove, they disappear. When it's game time, they're nowhere to be seen. They say they're going to be the greatest ever, but their work ethic shows average effort. They say they're going to be rich or famous, but their habits are poor and ordinary. Talking is not enough. You must do. Talking is not enough. You must put in the work. You must develop the habit of following through with your word. When you say you're going to do something, you do it. It's called integrity. When you honor your word, you build pride for yourself and respect from others. When you don't, when you talk the talk and never walk, you lose pride and you lose respect. Repeat to yourself every day. If I say I'm going to do something, I do it. If I give my word, I do it. If I talk it, I will walk it. If I say I'm going to do something, I do it. If I give my word, I do it. If I talk it, I will walk it. When it gets hard, I gave my word. If something comes up, I gave my word. I will get it done. I don't even have to think twice. I get it done. I will get it done. Talkers talk. Walkers walk. Don't tell them what you're going to do. Show them what you've done. Let your results speak for you. Results say more than words ever will. Keep your word. Do the work. Get the results. Game time. This is my word. I've said it. Now I will do it.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're looking at this instruction. The rod and reproof gives wisdom. And we know that verse 15 and 17 of Proverbs 29 says that the rod and reproof gives wisdom, but a child left to himself brings his mother to shame. And verse 17 completes the thought, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. And we know that there is another saying that Solomon gives about raise up a child or train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not deviate from it. The problem what we're having in our society today, my precious brothers and sisters, is that society is raising us up first. And that goes for almost exclusively everyone. And I'm saying that school, academia, we are learning our ABCs first. And in the process of learning those ABCs, we're being trained and indoctrinated. And that is not to God's glory. It's to the glory of society. Let's look now at Psalms 34. And it's going to give us a more of an understanding concerning this. Psalms 34, verse 19 and 20. Listen to what David tells Israel in verse 19 and 20. that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keepeth all of his bones, and none of them is broken. So the reproof is what we're talking about in God allowing us to go through the strings and arrows of life is a benefit for us. In fact, in another Psalm 119, we hear David tell us, if I had not been afflicted, I would not have learned thy law. And again, David says in the same Psalms 119, it was good for me to have been afflicted, that I had to learn thy law. And that is so significant, my brothers and sisters, to reproof and rod being significant to our wisdom. Now let's go to our New Testament complement, and we're going to see in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, how Paul puts it. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, this is what Paul had to say concerning the rod and reproof, and we'll get a better understanding of what we are supposed to be doing today in order to affect ourselves correctly. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 through 15. Listen to what Paul says. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know this, my precious brothers and sisters, that the rod and reproof of God is a security for our salvation. If we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and only through him is there salvation, that is our base. And we should maintain our foundation, our base. Even though we do other things and we know that we are, the tendency is to sin, yet that will be lost, shall be suffered through the fire, but we shall, in the end, save our souls. And that is what Paul is telling us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 through 15. Now, listen also what Jesus says about this in verse 12, and we're going to look at our chapter 12 in Luke, and we're going to look at verse 42 through 48. Listen to what Jesus says. And the Lord said, who then is that wise and faithful steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, so shall find him doing. Of a truth I say unto you, he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But if that servant says in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the servants, and men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and be drunken, the Lord shall come to that servant in a day when he looks not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him off asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. My brothers and sisters, reproof is good for the soul. The rod, spare the rod and spoil the child, that is not good for salvation. And you can see what Jesus is saying, that even though you will be in trouble with the Lord if you do not keep all of his commandments if you are working your soul salvation with fear and trembling, you will receive what you need in order to have your salvation ensured. And now this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that without correction and repentance, there is no salvation. And that is what Jesus brings to the table. When he came, Jesus came to seek that which is lost, to save that which is lost, not to call the righteous, but to call the sinners to repentance. And that's what I want you to get from this particular instruction, that the rod and reproof is absolutely essential to our salvation. Okay, let's go to the last instruction for the evening. We're going to go back to Solomon and Proverbs chapter 18, Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. And the instruction is almost identical to the scripture. And this is the instruction I want you to pay attention to it as I read the scripture to you. Where there is no vision, the people perish. My precious brothers and sisters, where there is no vision, the people perish. And this is what Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18 says about that. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. My brothers and sisters, basic instructions before leaving earth is essential to our salvation. And now we're going to go to 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15 through 18, and we're going to get a better understanding of this. This is the Old Testament showing that where there is no vision, the people perish. And we're looking at 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15, and it says, "And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. So that was the vision. Without a vision, the people perish. You can see the young man, he had almost forsaken or became despondent until he saw what vision that Elijah had been given by the Lord. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to see how the New Testament brings this to light in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. Listen, my brothers and sisters, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." That cloud of witnesses is critical to our vision, my brothers and sisters, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of God, the throne. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. That's the vision that we have, that of Jesus Christ dying on the cross. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that without forethought or plans or goals, then our success will be hampered with problems. And that holds true even in the physical. But we know that in the spiritual, it is essential to salvation. My brothers and sisters, that ends our lesson tonight. And what I'd like to do before we close, I'd like to tell you that the host and I appreciate you in your participation and your continued encouragement. And we are signing off. Good night.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. B-I-B-L-E. I hope you are blessed by our program. Please join us every Monday night at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Good night.